Picture that super soft t-shirt you love sleeping in, the one that gets softer and softer the more you wear it. Now you can bring that same lived-in softness to your entire bed with Signature Vintage Wash Sheets from Boll & Branch. This all-new collection is even softer than your favorite t-shirt, with a distinctly relaxed look and feel for your best night's sleep. Just like all Boll & Branch bedding, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets start with the highest quality, 100% organic cotton. The lived-in feel comes from a small batch washing process, creating a level of softness you've never felt before. And it's not just the feel. Boll & Branch mastered the laid-back aesthetic using a special technique that creates the well-loved look you'll find with vintage jeans. And true to the Boll & Branch hallmark, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets get softer and softer with every wash. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order with promo code ODYSSEY and save on their most relaxing sheets. So head to BollAndBranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and Branch.com.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of the Go 24/7 podcast. Thanks for listening, guys. I'm Billy Embody. With me is Sonny Shipp. We're going to react a little bit before we get into the game of this week, which is LSU-Ole Miss, with some recruiting. LSU had a busy Wednesday, the first day of the early signing period, landing multiple commitments from guys that had announcements on that day. And Sonny, I think rightfully so, even though it was kind of in the middle, sandwiched in between some of these other announcements. We've got to start with five-star defensive tackle Mason Smith on a day where you had some defections from the class and Keanu Coate and JoJo Earl, as well as, you know, that up-in-the-airness with some of the other commits, to land the number one player in Louisiana at defensive tackle, position of need, in my opinion. Ed Ogeron and his staff deserve a lot of credit for keeping Mason at home.
Yeah, they do deserve a lot of credit for that, Wild Bill. Keep Mason Smith at home. You keep the number one prospect in the state at home. You come out and you say that you're going to put up a fence around Louisiana, and you're, you know, the job that Ed Ogeron and his staff did in keeping all of those pieces in state so far, pretty remarkable. You know, pretty remarkable when you go down the list and you just look at all of the ones who signed, and it's LSU, 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 LSU. So really good job. The staff, they were primed to have a really strong class coming off of a national championship. Coming into, you know, even with the struggles that they had this year, when you put all of that together, it brings you out to a class that's ranked number four in the country as of right now when we're recording this on Thursday afternoon, and could still get stronger. So hats off to Ogeron and his staff. Good job. Now you just need to go out and you need to finish. And by finish, you just got to go out and finish off with some offensive linemen to get you back to where you need to be next year.
Yeah, I feel badly for those offensive linemen that they signed to have to go against Mason Smith every day in practice. What a just absolute athletic freak. He's got some rawness to his game, but when you look at what he is as an athlete and just his size and strength, he's going to be somebody that's going to figure into the rotation right away for LSU. Now, I think another one of the big lands, and I will get to who I think is really the right up there with among the best players in this entire class in a second, but Demaryius McGee, he kind of had his nationally televised announcement on ESPN2, and he was short and sweet. The Pensacola Catholic four-star defensive back who decommitted from Tennessee earlier this fall in late November, he made it official with LSU right then and there on ESPN2. He's a typical Corey Raymond corner. He's got that long frame, and he's going to have to put on some weight at around 165, 170 pounds right now, I would guess, from what I think. But he's a really, really good prospect with a lot of athleticism.
Yeah, and when you lose Nathaniel Wiggins to Clemson, replacing that spot with with the number eight cornerback in the country in McGee, you know, that's the way to go out and to make it to where those hits that you take aren't nearly as bad as they could have been. Hats off to Corey Raymond again. I'm with you. I like this guy. Long, you know, has a frame to where he's going to put on some weight. And you know, you still have that 6'1" with just long arms out there on the perimeter. And you know, I like this pickup a lot. And you know, I think when you start looking at guys that, okay, you know, I wonder if you know, if he would have moved up, if things would have been normal, you know, and this guy would have been having the camps and stuff, and then a, you know, a senior season that was, you know, a normal senior season, if he would have climbed up the rankings even higher.
Yeah, I agree. And now we're kind of working our way backwards before we jump back ahead again, but Malik Nabers really quietly flips to LSU. And this was one where he even announced he was shut down in his recruitment. He was sticking with Mississippi State. But as he put it, he woke up on National Signing Day and said, you know what, I want to go to LSU. And LSU had a spot for him. And I like this pickup mainly because, one, you get a really athletic prospect that is competitive as all get out. And I think the receiver room missed Jamar Chase and missed Justin Jefferson and didn't have as much of Terrace Marshall as they probably wanted to, of course. But Jamar's competitiveness, I think, really would have pushed this receiver room a little bit more and kind of showed them how to get it done. You look at Kayshon Boutte and some of the guys that they have in the class in the room, and I feel like Malik Nabers can come in with his competitive nature and kind of push those guys a little bit, because when I watched him in 7-on-7, when I watched him as a junior, that's kind of what stood out the most to me about his game. And look, if receiver somehow doesn't work out, there's some thought that he could be a really good DB too.
Yeah, that's what I love about Nabers is the versatility that he brings as a guy who could excel on either side of the ball. I mean, he is truly a, you know, he's a true two-way standout. He's just as good on offense as he is on defense and vice versa. And, you know, I just love that versatility. I love that versatility. If it doesn't work right here, you know, if this position gets a little logged up right here on the depth chart, then what about over here, you know? So you give a guy with some options, he could help the team in a lot of ways. And I just really like it. And just the wide receiver class as a whole, you know, yeah, you lost JoJo Earl to Alabama. You know, that stung a little bit, but you have Deion Smith, you have, you have Jack Besh, who's going to start out at wide receiver. I think he'll eventually grow into a tight end, but I think he will start out at wide receiver. You have Malik Nabers. And then when you look at, you know, Chris Hilton, when you look at what LSU has coming back from this year, you know, you can kind of start to see a little bit of how that wide receiver picture is going to look next year. And I think it's going to look good.
Yeah, I agree with you. And look, you can't replace talent like Terrace Marshall and Jamar Chase and things like that. But, you know, the flashes that guys like Kayshon Boutte especially showed this year are really, really important for this wide receiver room moving forward. And it'll be a lot of young guys out there running around, but if they can get Eric Gilbert back, Deion Smith's going to make a difference. That'll be a really nice situation for LSU at the receiver spot. And then they cap the day with, I think, somebody who's an instant impact type of player. I really do. Armani Goodwin, when you're able to have the production that he's had at the highest level of Alabama high school football and average 10 yards a carry coming off of a torn ACL, that just speaks to how impressive that he is as a football player. And credit to Kevin Falk. I think he got two really good running backs in the class right now. They're shooting for Logan Diggs, who's going to sign in February. But this was a huge, huge pickup out of the state of Alabama.
Yeah, huge pickup, and I'm with you. Instant playmaker. I think he and Corey Connor are both just instant playmakers. You know, with what they've produced in high school, I think that, you know, that they've just done it at the you know, I know some will question Corey Connor and the level, but you're certainly not going to do that with Armani Goodwin, like you said. So, yeah, a really nice haul. Man, I just, you know, I really like Logan Diggs as a player. you know, my thing is that when you have all these other needs and stuff, you know, like, do you really need three running backs in this class when you've got one offensive tackle committed? You know, so it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out with between Notre Dame, LSU, and Logan Diggs, whether or not somebody else comes into the picture too. But it's just really tough for me to see LSU taking three running backs in this class.
I completely agree with you, and I'm with you. I don't think it's a position of need. I can understand why they do it. You know, Chris Curry, what's his future? Ty Davis Price, John Emery, Trey Bradford are the guys coming up. Certainly, we've seen flashes out of Ty Davis Price and John Emery, and they're poised for even bigger roles next year. But you know, that's a position that I don't think needs to be addressed. I think finding transfers on the offensive line, linebacker, corner, safety, something like that, that is still very important. And I think that's the way they've got to build this football team back up, because look, we know that LSU is a win now type of job. And obviously they did that with the national championship in Ed Orgeron getting it done in 2019, putting that team together, but they've got to build it back up because the pressure is going to be on next year.
Yeah. Pressure is going to be on next year. And I mean, look, let's face it. You've got three top five classes that will, you know, that this is where the core of your team should be, you know, coming into the 2021 season. You would like to have some of those, some elder statesmen from the, you know, from the class before that, but you know, that's going to be the core of your class right there. And I think when you look at how you start rebuilding this roster, like you said, it starts with this class right here. It starts, you know, then it moves on to Ed Orgeron re-recruiting some of the players that he currently has right now to come back next year to take advantage of that, getting an extra year due to the NCAA not counting the 2020 season towards their eligibility clock. And then I'm with you again. I think it goes on to the transfer portal. I would like to see LSU save two spots for the transfer portal, one for an offensive lineman, and then the second one, wherever you can get the biggest impact player on defense, whether it is a, whether it's corner, whether it's safety, or whether it's linebacker. Defensive end, I think you're good right there. But wherever you can find your biggest impact player at, And if it's me, I would prefer a safety over a corner, because I think between Distingley, Flott, Ricks, with what Ward has shown, with what McLaughlin showed against Florida, and I think that they're pretty good at cornerback. And man, I'm really looking forward to that pod that personal pod that you're going to have over Dwight McLaughlin and his performance against Florida, because man, the board was looking for you that night.
Look,
they were calling for you, dude. They were calling the dogs on you.
Hey, thankfully, one of my friends got married that night and had to be the best man and get plenty of attention that night. So I was off the board. I walked into I was telling Shay earlier this week. We walked into the hotel bar and Cade York was lining up for what ended up being the game-winning field goal. But I did rewatch it. I thought he played well, but I also thought that, and you guys can all sick me on the board for this one, but there are a lot of passes caught on Dwight McLaughlin, and I'd be interested to see how he graded out in the film room. But he tackled really well, and look, he got some playing time, which I was one of the first people as well to say this year that he should be getting some playing time after LSU's pass defense was being torn apart for much of the year.
Yeah. Now he shows some, I think he showed enough to where you can look at it. You can say, okay, you know, with the normal off season to prepare and stuff, you like his body. You like the physical traits. Now you work on the hips, you work on the speed, you work on the quickness and, you know, see if you can fine tune some of those things. But, Just, it was good to see him get some playing time. Good to see him play. you know, play fairly well, and good to see him, you know, play a big part in them getting that huge upset.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, one other name, Navon Teague Strong, the number one junior college linebacker in the country, is headed to LSU. They basically flipped him from Mississippi State. He decommitted, and that's another instant impact type of player for LSU. But, Sonny, I want to shift gears now to LSU's matchup this weekend. Ole Miss, Lane Kiffin comes to town, their first coaching matchup against each other as head coaches. And this one's going to be fun. I think we're going to see a lot of points scored. If LSU's offense can return to its form that they had against Florida, obviously they got some help from the defense. But this was one where I think we're going to see a lot of points in Tiger Stadium to close out this season.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think you're going to see a high scoring affair. You know, those looking for defense, or those looking to get out of Tiger Stadium because they've got 6:30 dinner reservations or something around Tiger Stadium, is probably going to be disappointed. This is one of those games that could very well end up being 5.5-6 hours between all the stoppages in play, and then all the points being scored. But should be a fun one. Should be a fun one. You know, see how LSU comes out if they try to build off that Florida game, and in the season at 5-5, win their last two, which, you know, to finish 5-5, I don't think you would have found many people who would have said that they have, you know, a decent amount of chance of doing that 3 weeks ago. So it's going to be it's going to be a good one. What's the big matchup that you're looking for? The matchup that you're most anxious to see?
And I tell you what, this defensive line for LSU is going to have to get after Matt Corral and try to force him into some mistakes like they did against Kyle Trask, and take advantage of that and give LSU's offense extra possessions, because this is a Ole Miss offense that, I think, friendship aside, you know, Lane Kiffin's going to still want to put up some points, especially after Ed Orgeron got that head-to-head recruiting battle win against him for Deion Smith.
Yeah, Matt Corral, that's going to be a big matchup for me too. Is can LSU force him into some turnovers? One thing about it, you know, he's going to take risks. He's going to take chances. He's going to have plays where you're like, there's no way he's going to do this, and he'll do it. You know, he's that type of player. And you know, I'm anxious to see if Ole Miss, if LSU is able to line up and just grind on Ole Miss's defense. You know, for me, because you want to keep the ball away from Ole Miss as much as possible. You know, is LSU able to put together some of those, you know, some of those 15 play drives that we've seen this season? Chews up 6.5 minutes, 7.5 minutes off the clock, keeps that Ole Miss offense over there on the sideline. Those are some things I want to see, and you know, really see them establish the run game and kind of go out there and just really dominate in the trenches on both sides. And like I said, finish this season 5-5, and you know, start building for next year.
Yeah, absolutely. I got this one going. I think it could end up being a 45-42 game. I'm going to go ahead and pick LSU. I think that win over Florida might have galvanized the guys a little bit. Last game for Jacoby Stevens, last game for some of these other guys in the purple and gold. And, you know, maybe they find a way to just get by and give LSU some momentum going into the offseason since they're sitting out the bowl.
Yeah, I think I told you – what did I tell you? Did I tell you 41-38 when we were talking before?
I think so, somewhere right around there.
Yeah, and as soon as I said that, I was like, no, man, I said I need to go higher than that. Not much higher, but I'm going to go 48-42. I'm going to go LSU 48, Ole Miss 42. Just a lot of offense, but I really think that LSU is going to come out and LSU is going to flex some muscle in the run game. They're going to run the ball effectively. They're going to chew up some clock, and then, you know, I think the defense is going to pick up a score. I believe they're going to force Matt Corral into a turnover, like it did against against Kyle Trask. And I mean, hey, you know, if this is Bo Pelini's last game this year, I think it's safe to say that he will not ever coach in another LSU uniform. So if this is that moment, you know, Bo wants to go out a winner.
Yeah, we'll have to see. The speculation, obviously, already ramping up. And we'll track that for you guys on Go 24/7, just like we tracked National Signing Day for you guys. What a day on the board. Sonny, that was fun. That was, you know, there it was up and down. It was all over the place. Rumors galore. I mean, that's like a National Signing Day of old, I feel like.
Yeah, I think over the past 6 months, we've had so many melts that the melts are just starting to blend in now. But, I think they actually handled it fairly well. You know, it was definitely one of those roller coaster days, you know, roller coaster days where you didn't really, you know, things caught you off guard. You wasn't expecting this. Other people wasn't expecting this too. So it was a fun day, man. Fun day.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll, like I said, we'll have your coverage of LSU Ole Miss Saturday afternoon. Keep it locked on Go 24/7. Still a lot of recruiting news to get to on the board. And don't be surprised if we're not done this week. So that's just a little teaser for you guys. Keep it locked on Go 24/7. Subscribe to the podcast, rate the podcast, and thanks so much for listening. Sonny, we'll catch you next time. Everybody else, have a great weekend.
Baseball has begun, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today in 5, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Sample, every Monday through Saturday as we deliver all of your fantasy baseball needs in just 5 minutes. We'll break down the biggest performers, news, and prospects who could make an impact this season. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.